This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. They're going to start early again today. Today's Tuesday the 14th. It's Valentine's Day. So everybody that has Valentine, we wish you a happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's to everybody else.
LJ called in. And let's get LJ out of the way first.
Okay.
Promised him that he could talk about his stuff.
No, that's fine. Bring him in.
Okay. LJ.
Yes.
Hey, this is Nora. She's in the Chicagoland area. And this is LJ. He's on Long Island.
Hi, LJ.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Doing good. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there.
Happy Valentine's Day to you as well.
I want to say hi to everybody. I'm promoting a biker holiday I'm trying to create called Forget Work and Let's Ride Day. The idea came...
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have some people that like to play with us when we're on the air.
Nice. That happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, the idea came to me in 2010. I lost my license for a while. If you remember back then, I got caught drinking and driving. I had a couple of drinks, and, I think the cops saw me and saw a biker guy and wanted to harass me. And unfortunately for me, I'd had a couple of beers, and they were able to throw me in jail for a while. I think they made him really happy. But I lost my license for 90 days, and after that, when I got my license back, I was going to take the bike and ride it to work. I think I'd take a nice ride to work. Well, one of my friends, my bro, Big Tom, had said to me, he goes, hey, listen, let's go for a ride. And I said, I got to work. And he said something real close to forget work and let's ride. And I thought for a few moments, thinking, like, I really got to work and make money. And I said, you know what? The hell with it. I'm going to ride with my bro. And we went out riding. We had a great day. Shortly after that, about a month later, he was killed when he was car hit him from behind, which was a whole, BS right there. But the thing that came to me was a matter of, what if I had not taken that day? So many times we want to go riding with our friends and all that, but we have things to do on the weekends, We say, I'm going to go riding on the weekend. So the idea of this came after that was to make a holiday during the week in the middle of summer, June, the last Wednesday in June every year, and go out riding and just take that day off. Get up early, go out riding all day, go out lunch in a tourist area. The idea here is I'm hoping people all over the country, all over the world will pick up on this idea. And like the whole ride to work day, this will be forget work, let's ride day, where everybody takes the day off. You take a ride out to a nice tourist area, you have lunch out there, then you continue riding, and at the end of the day, you stop and you hang out at a nice biker-friendly bar, a place that welcomes all bikers, is not discriminatory, and you have it there. And I'm hoping it'll catch on. If people want more information, they can go to Google, they can go on Facebook, just put in forget work and let's ride day. And it'll pop up. And they get all the information they want. I'm looking to get sponsors out there. I got about 10 sponsors right now. We're looking to get about another 10. It's $100 each spot on the back of their shirt. We're hoping to get like at least 300 shirts made up. And we can sell them real cheap to everybody. And hopefully they'll promote it and everybody will enjoy themselves. If everybody's looking to get a shirt, they can go to skullgearapparel.net. That's my clothing line, which I started also. And
yeah, I'm popping that in the chat room for you right now.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No worries.
I'm hoping maybe somebody out in California listening to you guys and whatnot, or across the country will decide to pick it up, get people in different areas. I hope this becomes a worldwide holiday.
Right. Well, right now, we're all in between. You're on the East Coast, I'm in the middle, he's on the West Coast, so we're hitting it all.
I hear that. That's what it's all about.
Oh, it's worldwide.
So,
yeah. Oh, thank you.
The big world with a lot of riders. So,
exactly.
And a lot of people don't like going to work anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, LJ, we got places like India, the Netherlands, Russia, France, New Zealand, United Kingdom, Germany, Canada, Australia.
Well, if anybody out there listening,
as well as Belgium and the Ukraine, listening all over.
Well, if any of your listeners out there would like to be interested in starting one in their area, we can help them. They can email me at AmericanBikerX@Yahoo.com. I'll be more than happy to help them out.
Okay. So what else has been going on? How you been?
I've been doing good, you know. I'm a little bummed out for a while, but I've been doing good lately. Everything's, I've been riding a lot, and it's been a nice warm winter out here in Long Island.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's been pretty warm all over.
I'm still writing a lot, doing a lot of articles, a lot of different magazines I'm writing for, and, just enjoying myself.
For you. I'm glad you're happy.
I'm trying, man. That's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know, I just want to touch on one thing you said about the biker-friendly bars. They're far and in between.
They are. There's definitely a few of them that are popping up lately. I've seen a lot. We have a bar out here in Long Island called Jugs and Strokers, which for years was no colors. They had a no colors policy. And just recently, about a year ago, new owners took over. They got rid of the old, the prehistoric law of not allowing colors. And
right.
Since then, the bar has done better than ever. And I just love the idea of that, because so many people always said that, you know, if you allow colors in a bar like this, nobody will show up. And the bar is now doing better than ever, which is great, you know. But we're going to end the run at a bar called Speakeasy. It's here on Long Island. It's in West Islip, New York. And this bar is real biker-friendly. I do a lot of my bike nights there. I do a lot of things there, a lot of events there. And it's a really nice bar, and the owners are great, and they treat us great. And they always put out a lot of food for everybody. It's the perfect spot if anybody's ever riding in the Long Island area on a nice Saturday or Sunday, or any day, really. Stop on by there, and they treat you good.
Okay, good. Good. And then you can come, you know, I extend the invitation, come back from time to time, and you can plug this or whatever you want to plug. And if you send me some info about your skull gear, your clothing line, and I'll put it on the blog for you.
No, I appreciate it. Well, the clothing line basically right now is just starting out. We got about 5 or 6 shirts, and we got 2 or 3 more coming out in the next month or so. And then we're going to have the run shirt, obviously, is going to be out there. We're hoping to have that real cheap. The more sponsors we get, the cheaper we'll be able to sell that. I'm hoping to get it down to a real cheap price where I can just almost give them away, you know.
Right.
I'll be able to give them away, but it'd be nice to get a real cheap price out there, because it's not something I'm looking to make a lot of money on. I'm looking to more just make my money back and publicize the event, you know, in memory. The idea of Forget Work, Let's Ride Day is to go out riding with the people you know or the people you love, to go out riding with people you've never ridden before, and in memory of those that you'll never get to ride with again.
Right. Cause like in April, Bill and I are taking 4 guys on their last ride, which after this they'll never ride again, so we got a good day planned for those, for a good 4 days planned for those guys.
Well, I hope they enjoy it, man. I'm sorry to hear that. What is the reason it's going to be their last ride? Is it?
One guy's got diabetes real bad, 2 guys got cancer, and the other guy has, I think it's lupus.
That sucks, man. You know what? I tell you, man, I've lost too many friends to diabetes, man. They say 1 in 5 males, I think, are going to get diabetes.
Yeah.
Statistics are high. Can't do enough to get rid of that. So.
No. So, like I said, whenever you got a chance, call in, and it doesn't have to be Tuesday. You keep me in the loop with your emails, and I'll put everything out there you send me.
I appreciate it, always. Keep up the great work.
Okay, man.
I'll see you soon, bro. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Hello, we got a caller on Skype.
Oh, Phil.
Yeah.
Phil, this is John from New Jersey, man.
Hello, John. How are you?
All right. Well, I'm not busy getting arrested, you mean?
Yeah.
That was nice to hear LJ's voice. I mean, ever since that old time radio, the Long Island radio, I really liked that. That just kind of ended abruptly, and
They lost their sponsors.
Oh, they lost. Wow. I thought they had a good format, and I enjoyed it. You know, I used to tune in every Saturday morning. I was looking forward to that, but what are you going to do?
Exactly. I was thinking a little later in the show because I got somebody calling in at 6:15. But if you want to give a little, build up to what we're going to talk about.
It's kind of like story time. I was on my way.
Hold on 1 second, John. Hello, Stacy. Hello, Stacy. I have to refresh or dial back in. Okay, John, go ahead.
All right. Here's the rundown, folks. This is a little. We have a little incident on November 10th. That's the day before Veterans Day, and every Veterans Day or the day before that, my own local college around here, junior college, they have a Veterans Day ceremony, and all the vets go there and they tell war stories and lies and they get together and they bullshit and they go out for beer or coffee, whatever. So I figured I'd go over, and it was a nice day, and I figured, instead of riding over, let me just walk. It's only a couple of miles. Nice day. I'll take my video camera with me. Maybe I'll see something interesting. I never do, but maybe I will. And so I start. I start down. I'm taking all these back roads, so I don't want to hit any traffic. Because I have my usual get up.
But you're walking, right?
Yeah. it's the appearance. I got hair down. I look like Bobby. If Bobby from SOA lost about 100 pounds, you probably couldn't tell the difference between the two of us. So we have a thing here going on. It's a menacing look for some people, mostly cops and law enforcement. Anything that
because they're trained that we want to hurt, maim or kill them.
Well, I didn't have my Barrett 50 caliber rifle on me that day, so that, I don't have to cut that out of the queue. But I'm walking, and about halfway there, I decide to pull over on the side of the road, and I have my video camera. It's a pretty expensive video camera, and I'm kind of going north towards the college, and so I move over to the side of the road there, and there's a little guardrail, and I'm sitting down there. And I'm taking out my camera to make sure that everything's working so that when I get there, I don't have to fumble around and not get the camera working. So I'm walking north, and this cop car, Stepford cop car, he's passing me south. So we just kind of pass each other, and I sit down. This guy does a complete U-turn and, kind of rolls right up on me. And so the conversation started out, he wanted to know.
Bobby, would you like me to play that?
What's that, Phil? Oh, yeah.
Would you like me to play that video you sent me?
Hey, let's go for it, man. That's public. That's out in the public domain. There's not a goddamn thing anybody can do about it. That's so far. I'm not.
It's loading up right now.
Yeah, so that's.
It's from.
Now,
it's
what's
gonna
the
be,
video?
Well. It's his, okay, here. I'll read you the little thing that he sent me to go with it. But it says, "This is my police stop video. Was on my way to a Veterans Day ceremony, November 11, 2011. Got stopped. Let's see.
I'm sorry, John. I wasn't able to see it before the show because I was multitasking before coming on.
Okay. He got stopped by the local cops, which is a long story that ended up with me getting arrested and charged with possession of crack cocaine. Got a good local lawyer in and out of court in 5 minutes with the charges dismissed. On my way to federal court with a civil rights lawsuit and a payout from the township for false arrest. So let me
Yeah. And that's just a short version of it.
Yeah. Let me play this real quick.
Okay, I'm recording. This is a stop in, I guess we're in Sewell in Deptford Township, and I'm being asked by an officer.
You know, that fat, ball-headed fucker looks like he's got a baton up
yeah.
there.
He's that crazy. I call him Officer Crazy Eyes. It was kind of like a Mutt and Jeff team. I called the little guy
always.
Short round.
It's always
yeah, it's
a Mutt and
Jeff.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Mutt and Jeff. I called him Short Round. Officer Short Round was a little guy. And the other guy was Crazy Eyes. So, you know, that was a team. That was the team that the initial team.
Yeah. All right, here, let me play this.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm recording. This is a stop in, I guess we're in Sewell in Deptford Township. And I'm being asked by an officer to identify myself, tell him where I'm, why I'm here, what the problem is, and you know, we can just go on from there.
The reason for my stop was to make sure everything is okay with you. It's kind of suspicious when I drive
okay.
by. And
I'm
going to
tell you, I'm
going to
turn it off.
No,
I'm not going to turn this off.
I want to see. Listen,
I'm not
going to
give you my.
Not that.
I'm
not
going to
give nothing on your person that could hurt us.
Thank you.
It's Detective Chairmar 5155. Thank you.
Okay, pick it up from there.
Okay, well, that's when I got bum rushed by the officer Crazy Eyes. So these guys bum rushed me and they jammed me up against the side rail, and they're frisking me down. They knocked the camera out of my hand. I'm up against. I got my hands up against. The, you know, I'm in a prone, damn near in a prone position, and they're frisking me and they're patting me down, and they empty everything out of my pockets. They got my wallet and all this shit, and. And so I noticed that, and all of a sudden, with all my stuff lying on the ground, there's this little piece of brown wax paper. And all these, you know, they eventually called in two or three other guys, and there was a whole, you know, a whole squad of guys trying to figure out just what this little piece of brown wax paper that I had on me and just what the contents of that, you know, what that was. So these brain surgeons, they determined that it was crack cocaine. And what it really was a piece of saltine cracker crumb that I had in my pocket, probably from last year. It's been sitting in my coat for God knows how long. You know,
uh-huh.
I got different leather jackets, and this one had had some stuff in it. You know, because when I travel out on the road, I always keep something on me. You know, because if my blood sugar gets low, I want to. You know, I don't want I don't want to get a little.
No, you just keep some on you to take the edge off. We all do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's yeah, and so generally I'll have. You know, it's anybody's guess what I'll have in my pocket. So what those assholes found was a piece of saltine cracker and a piece of brown wax paper. You know, that might have been in that jacket for a year, at least since last winter. So and so they questioned me and want to know. Do I do drugs? So they identified it as crack cocaine, and they wanted to know, do I do crack cocaine? And I
yeah.
said, if there's any crack cocaine down there, he says, it's because you clowns are planting that down there to justify the stop.
Uh-huh.
So that's when things, you know, went from bad to worse. And I called them a bunch of thugs, and I said I wasn't going to cooperate. I'm not going to give them any information, no ID. I said, if you guys want to, you know, you guys are going to have to arrest me, come up with some charges, I said. And so he said, well, now you're under arrest for the possession of crack cocaine. So there's another squad car pulls up, I guess from the narcotics or, you know, whoever, whatever team they got that investigates all this shit. So they handcuff me, and I got my hands behind my back, and they're, you know, they jammed you up there. They jammed me up just to let you know who's in charge. So I go back. We go back to the police station, and I strip down. I mean, well, it wasn't a complete strip, but you know, the shoes, the belt, the hat, everything, and I'm in the holding cell. You know, I'm in there for 45 minutes, a half an hour, and the Crazy Eyes, the you know, the guy with the buzz cut, he eventually comes back, and the whole demeanor, the whole attitude changed, and I'm wondering, well, why are these guys being so so goddamn friendly? What the hell's going on here? What is it that they know that I don't know? So
yeah,
you know, I'm out of the, I get out in the holding cell, I get all my stuff back up, you know, I have all my shit, and we go back up, I guess, into the booking room or the area where they do all the paperwork, and he kind of muttered something about the saltine crackers. you know, maybe he figured I should have told him or I should have knew or, I mean, if you don't
yeah.
know the fucking difference between a piece of nasty old saltine cracker and crack cocaine or rock crack or whatever the fuck they thought that was, you know, you've
uh-huh.
got a problem there. You guys don't know shit. You know, you're just a bunch of Barney Fifes. And, well, the whole thing, the whole demeanor changed after that. But that, you know, they booked me, they fingerprinted me, mugshot. And on my way out, they wanted me to, what they wanted me to go for was a deal where if I kept my nose clean for 6 months, he would speak to the judge and, you know, they would, so they,
yeah.
they gave me, it was a bullshit obstruction of
justice.
You know, I don't know what the hell it was. It's contempt of cop. That's, you know, so that's all that shit ever is. It's just contempt of cop. If they can't intimidate you, you know, that's the whole purpose of all that shit is just to intimidate you into, you know, into submission. Well, they got the wrong fucking guy that day because I wasn't being intimidated and I wasn't going to submit. So
yeah.
And the whole, so I played it real cool. And next day I go up to a local lawyer, a guy I know who's, I think he's a pretty tough, he's a pretty sharp customer. And
Can you do me a favor and hold on 1 second with that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Because I want to get this lady on the phone, and I promised her last week, and we didn't get to her, and she hung out the
yeah,
whole
sure.
time.
Okay.
But I want you to listen to this, and if you got any questions for her, you'll be the first one I unmute.
I can imagine what this is going to be.
Michelle, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I'm sorry about last week, but that was I didn't know that topic was going to take off like it did.
Oh, no, that's okay. It was no big deal. Yeah, it sounds like you got a heavy topic right now going.
That's okay, though. I promised you 6:15, and I'm a little late, and I wanted to make it up and bring you on right away, and we can talk to John in a little bit because he called in early.
Oh, that's okay. How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
All right. Happy Valentine's Day.
And you too.
Thank you. You didn't forget, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't forget. I took care of everything I needed to take care of.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to get hit in the back of the head while I was sitting here doing a show.
Yeah, really? That wouldn't be good, I don't think.
No. But, so what's going on? I if you notice, you're Babe of the Week this week, and I put up the information for the calendar and all the stuff.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Yeah.
No worries.
We're actually trying to, you know, solidify the plans about coming out. It's the second week of March.
Uh-huh.
If we don't come out the second week of March, we're definitely coming out around April 19th.
Uh-huh.
I think they're trying to get me on a presenter for some award show. So we just have to see what's getting lined up for me out there, and you know if it's enough to get me out there for a week in March, or you know if not, then we're definitely going to do the April.
Okay.
But I would like to get out there sooner than later, but you know it's really not up to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So have you finished that other movie you told me about or no?
Was that The Hangover, the parody?
Yeah.
But what we did was we signed some heavy, you know, like some bigger names. So we have, I think we have every slot filled, which is good. So it should turn out to be a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna film it in New Jersey, so we have to wait for it to get a little bit warmer because there's you know some outside shots.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's beach scenes and stuff like that. So we'll probably start either the end of March or sometime in April. But
okay.
We're trying to get like you know some funding and stuff like that, some backers who want a product placement. Well, there's just a couple things that we need to get in place to do that, but. It's getting more exciting now, I have to say, now that we find, you know, some, like, these certain people. So, you know, we have contracts with them, and, you know, I think they're going to come on board with our company, too, so.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad things are working out. Because John's on the phone, and he happens to live in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
I call it the People's Republic of New Jersey.
Wait, this happened in New Jersey? The cops pulled you over there?
Yeah, this is down in southern New Jersey, in Gloucester County. And,
oh, okay.
Now,
they didn't pull him over. He was walking.
Yeah, well,
oh, God.
Yeah, I was walking while white. Now, you've heard of driving while black? Well, I was walking while white. And it was basically a profile because, you know, I had my regular outfit on that day, you know, jeans, Harley riding boots, jacket, chain to my wallet, and the whole, you know, the whole thing. It was a profile, but that camera that I had, that pretty much tipped it over, and that, you know, I was right up there with Al Qaeda and Mexican mafia and just about anybody else that you know, you can put on that tag. So that's
that. Now, I think that's crazy. Did they look like smacked asses when it came back to be a cracker?
You know. That's smacked asses, isn't? You know, I thought these. I thought we were going to go out and have beers or something. I thought they were going to take me out for beers. That's the whole demeanor. They took me back to the house. They, you know, but the damage was already done. You know, because you know what they didn't understand was that no matter how what the situation was, no matter what it took or how much I had to spend or what I was going to do, you know, they didn't know that they just going to inherit the world in that day because of all the fucking people they wanted to, that they should have never stopped that day, it was me because I just won't lay down and I won't back up and I won't back down. And, you know, that's I'm not going to put up with that shit because I know that 99% of the people will just go along with the program and they're intimidated, you know. Well, this is going to be for the 99%. The people that they've managed to intimidate, you know, into submission. I'm the one guy that you can't intimidate because I basically don't give a shit. So, you know, when you're up against a guy who doesn't give a shit.
You have nothing to lose.
I have nothing. There's no fear factor here because I don't give a rat's ass one, you know. Now, this, it didn't, the nonsense with the crack cocaine, what we have down in New Jersey is called a green sheet. And there was no mention of the stop of the crack cocaine and the bust. And the crackers, and, you know, that didn't go on the police report. So we got some serious problems. You know, they have some serious problems. In 2009, the township paid out almost $1 million in a police abuse case.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like $800,000 in legal fees. And the defendant got $200,000.
Wait. You're stepping on each other. Go ahead and ask your question, Alicia.
What was the probable cause that they stopped you? What did they say?
He was walking while white.
it was just kind of a mishmash of you look suspicious. You got that camera in your hand. You know, what are you doing with the camera? They told me that they've been having a rash of burglaries in the area, and I said, what the hell's that got to do with me? I said, you know, you haven't caught me burglarizing anybody's house since I've been, you know, I've been here 50 years. You guys haven't caught me doing anything. There is no rationale. It's intimidation.
Is it random? I'm sorry.
No, it's profiling. It's profiling pure and simple. It was a profile. It was basically what they call a stop and identify. They it's illegal. You can't do it, but they do it, and they intimidate the majority of the people. You don't have to stop and identify. You don't have to show anybody ID, and you don't have to tell them a goddamn thing. I called them. I told them, look, I'm not going to give you thugs any information. That was what was on the police report, that I called them thugs. And they weren't, you know, they weren't too happy that of all, you know, I'm the one guy that you know, had they stopped anyone else, it had gone real smooth, and, you know, and they would have intimidated them. And but it just so happened they just ran to me that day. So what they've got now is they've got a serious fucking problem. I hired one guy who does internal affairs investigation, a pro.
Wow.
And the first thing before I go into the before we go into federal court, the preliminary step is you got to do the internal affairs investigation, and not to find out the truth. I know they're lying. I want to catch them in the lie, and the internal affairs. When they lie on that internal affairs investigation, which they will say always do, they will lie and they will, you know, but they can't lie at it. You can't, it's too late for the lie. It's already out. Everything's, you know, it's out in the open. So they can't lie. And
before,
I want to know.
Before we get too far off the topic, Alicia.
Yes.
So, for the people that just joined us, and for John, who probably doesn't know what you do, maybe you want to enlighten him.
I do adult video, and I do modeling.
Now, do you do that in California, or do you do that someplace else?
Well, we're out in Pennsylvania, so we do it out in the Philly area. I was in Miami with the SCORE group back in November, so I shot with them. But we're eventually going to try and go out there at least once a month, you know, for a week, starting either next month or April. So, but yeah, right now.
Was it hard for you to get into the line of work or no?
No, actually, it's kind of a strange story. I got approached actually by a gentleman's magazine, and they wanted to do, a spread on me, no pun intended, and they needed to see six types of videos. They were very specific on what they wanted, so, you know, we got the videos together, and then it was just like, well, why don't we just start our own production company? And see if we can sell the videos ourselves, you know, give them to them what they needed. And that's really kind of how we got started in it.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard being out here, though, just with the talent, you know, because
there's not much between the Midwest to the East Coast. I mean, I'm in Illinois. Sorry. And so I can understand where you're coming from. That's why I assumed you were out in California. The need for it is, and I don't mean the need, but in regards to making of the videos, come more from California than what it does from the Midwest to the East Coast.
Right, yeah, because we're close to New York, and I don't know how much they do. And the bigger name companies are definitely out on the West Coast.
Well,
right.
they're all threatening to leave, because I don't know if you know what Los Angeles, the city council decided, but that all the adult video stars must wear condoms now.
Yeah. Actually, we heard that New Jersey is just a few weeks away from signing that also, which is a good thing, because there's been a lot more scares recently. So I'm all for that. That's fine. I mean, you have to get tested every, you know, once a month and everything like that, but, you know, I just, you know, in Pennsylvania, or, you know, with my company, that's a must. You know, there's no bigger backs or anything like that. So,
well, you look at it this way. You rather make sure that your life is fine, you know, than not being protected. That's just a bottom line.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, because there's just too much out there. I mean, look at the old, you know, videos that, and we're talking vintage. Okay, they didn't do anything then. And it's not like John Holmes was going to find out that he was going to die, you know, while he was making the movies. And people that were involved in the movies with him, you know, look at what took place. I mean, chain of events do come. So, you know, being safe is wonderful compared to, you know, waking up one day and being tested. And, oh, well, here you go. What?
Yeah, you know. I know, really. You can't take that back. But I don't know, maybe Los Angeles is setting a precedence now on, you know, other cities to do the same thing and just pass that law all the way.
Right.
So, like you were telling,
said, it's not a bad thing.
So, you were telling me and Bill a couple of weeks ago about how do you do this? Do you throw a casting call out there, or how does it work?
How do we get our talent?
Yeah, pay attention, John.
Yeah, I'm listening. Hey. I'm
not, yeah, okay. You're going to need that, John.
Every word
on get some money.
Yeah.
I might be able to buy my own studio after this is all done.
There you go.
If you need talent, let me know. What we do, we have advertisements out, like on, it's called Backstage. You know, just people that find us, you know, they do try and contact us to see if, you know, we are looking for talent. You know, but there's people that, you know, think that they can do it, and they're like, yeah, we'll do it, you know, and we tell them, you know, before you even come in, you have to come in, you know, you have to show tests. You know, nothing gets done unless you're tested. You have to be over 18. You know, we have certain protocols that we need to follow to protect ourselves. And, you know, it's just been, yeah, and, you know, it falls through. Believe it or not, the guys are the ones that we're having problems with. There's just not enough guys around here that, you know, that we have signed. We have a lot of female talent, which is good, but, you know, we need the guy talent also.
Well, you know Bobby from the Sons of Anarchy?
No.
John said he looks just like him, about 100 pounds lighter. So if you got a part for Bobby, since he does help out with the porno movies on the show.
Okay.
Bobby or John might qualify.
Okay.
You need an extra on the set. You know, you need an extra just to look kind of menacing and way out of place. So I'm available.
Okay. All right. I will keep that in mind.
I work cheap too.
You know what? We might need a bodyguardish looking person for our XXX parody.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Dan. You're hired.
Yeah, there you go. And it's going to be
Hey, that's why we're here. My name's Philip. I'm here to help.
Thank you. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, so, but that's how we get our talent. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we're making pretty good contacts out in L.A., you know, so there's a lot of people that are actually, you know, willing to help us now. And we're actually in the midst of talking to, well, we have one person that we've been in contact with to start our own studio together. And then another person, you know, kind of said the same thing. So the three of us, I don't know if I should say her name or anything, but, I mean, I won't right now, but, you know, we're actually looking at starting a, you know, like a three-man or three-woman studio out there, which would be great. So there's just a lot of things happening right now, but just everything's preliminary, but nothing's really set in stone yet. So, but I just think that once it starts, it's going to take off and like the world's the limit or the sky's the limit.
Okay. So if you would, send me a little more info on what's going on and stuff that I can put up there with your pictures.
Okay. All right, definitely.
And then if you have some more for the rest of the week or next week, send them to me.
Okay. Yeah, we actually had Valentine pictures that we took. So I don't know, did Mike send you those?
Not today.
Okay. All right, I'll get him. I'll have him send them over when I get off, and then hopefully you can put them up.
You mean when you hang up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll
yeah. Yeah, you got him kind of flustered.
What's that?
I say you got him kind of flustered.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh no.
Don't be. It's funny.
He's talked to me enough to know that it's hard to get me flustered.
Yeah, I know. I was just joking. It was just an icebreaker there. It went silent.
Yeah. No, they're done faithfully. There's nothing that is showing, especially in these, because we have to make sure that we don't get in trouble either, you know.
Exactly.
You do, I can get in trouble for what I do too. So.
Oh, okay.
We can all get in trouble for something, trust me.
Yeah, I get in trouble by myself, so, you know, it doesn't take
me anymore. I think we all do.
Yeah. Well, I got to say something that Bill said. He wrote, you know, he told everybody that I, during the last 15 minutes of the show, I sit here naked. Well, Art decided to write in there that it's naked Phil talking to an adult movie actress. That's scary.
Oh no!
Well, you know, Art has a point here, because who knows how everybody's sitting behind the phone.
Yeah. I'm always on Facebook, and everybody wants to know if I have like the cam, and I'm like, I don't really. You know, being on Facebook is one thing, talking to somebody, but I don't really want to sit here and have them like look at me and. You know, I mean, I could be in my pajamas or, you know, just doing whatever, doing 10 things at one time. And,
Or whatever makes you happy.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm sitting here. I got my slippers on. I'm relaxing for the night. You know, just a long day, and I don't want to go on Facebook. You know, and have the cam going. Like that's just no. That's another thing. You know. But yeah, if you want to sit there naked, by all means, go ahead.
Art did make a good, you know, comment here that they're all talented. So on Facebook, there you go. Everybody's talented someone.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Facebook is a good thing, but, you know, sometimes it can be, you know,
tedious.
Pain in the ass.
Bad thing, too.
Yeah.
So as it gets closer, you got anything you wanna promote, I'll give you the... Send me an email, let me know, and we'll schedule you in. And I like Shirley said, she said that she thought this was a biker show. Well, it is a biker show, Shirley. Sometimes, though, we deviate a little bit, and I promised Alicia last week we'd bring her on, but the topic was so heavy that we never got a chance to.
Yeah, but like 90% of my followers on Facebook are bikers, though, so.
Right.
So it's associated somehow, a little, you know, really off the beaten path, but that's okay. We can figure out a way to get it back on there.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm sorry about last week because we didn't realize that topic would have gone as long as it did, you know, in regards to what happened with my girlfriend's son, but, you know, I was glad we were able to get you on this time.
Yeah, no, I was listening to some of it, so, like, I just, I kept, okay, well, should I just hang up, should I hang on? So I did listen to some of it, so that was interesting. But, yeah,
right.
No, I totally understand, but I appreciate the time you give me now. And as soon as we get off, I'll get Mike to send you over some pictures, and I will definitely keep in touch with you and let you know when we're coming out. So hopefully we can get together.
Cool.
All right.
Glad to have you.
All right, take care.
Have a
you
good
too.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, John.
Okay, John. You're back.
Okay. I'm here. Still never left.
Hold on one second. Fran, are you there?
Yes, I'd like to jump in, please.
Okay.
Hi, Fran.
Hey, how you doing this evening?
Not too bad. How are you?
Fran, we have John from New Jersey. We just had Alicia from Pennsylvania hang up, but and Nora's on from Chicago, and I'm about 50 miles north of you right now.
I've been listening for the last hour.
I do
have a question. Now, John,
sure,
yes, it was definitely a clusterfuck, but other than that, you know, the real question is, at this point, it is true in process. They cannot unarrest somebody, even though they make a mistake. Now,
Absolutely. My
question to this is, with your fingerprints and what's on the documentation, now, it's true that the judge can expunge the whole case, which means it never existed, it never happened. However, I would want the fingerprints back. Problem is, even if they gave you the fingerprints back, not saying that they are shifty in any way, there's no way to guarantee that they still don't have a copy. So is there something in the works in that respect?
Okay, here's my understanding from what my lawyer told me, that that information gets funneled to the National Crime something or other database thing. So all that information gets forwarded in a database. Now, I don't have my lawyer still hasn't sent me all of his case file, you know, all his interviews in the police department. So I really don't know. I don't have all the details yet. In maybe a couple of weeks, I'll have a picture of everything. You can get your file expunged. And that's an expungement process. I don't really know, you know, that's down the road a bit. What I got to do is I've just got to go back and and regroup and go back to square one and go through all the steps to find out just what happened. The only thing I was in, here's what my, I went to my attorney and he asked me, what do you want out of this? And I said, Ed, I want a summary judgment on this thing. I said, it's a bullshit case. There's nothing there. You know it. I know it. The judge knows it and the police know it. I said, I want a summary judgment. I want to get in and out. And then I can, it gives me time to regroup and find out just how I want to deal with the situation. So that was my main objective, was to get in and out of court, because municipal courts are just political and they're mostly bullshit. And there's a little mafia of prosecutors and judges and chiefs of police, and you got police unions, and there's a whole mix mash. And you don't want to get involved in that. You want to get away from that as soon as you can and get out of that jurisdiction, and then go to a higher jurisdiction where a lot of that bullshit just doesn't happen. So when I regroup, I'll have to regroup. And as far as I know, since the charges were dismissed, I don't have a record. But that stuff gets forwarded. It's still somewhere in a database from what I understand. And so I'm not entirely off the hook as far as having the track record. So these are things I don't know yet.
Once that's in there, you're done.
That's right.
You know, Shirley said it best. She said, once you're fingered, it's too late.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't really give a shit about having a record.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, all kinds of data.
Yeah, I mean, it just ups my street credibility. What the hell do I, you know, I don't give a rat's ass about the record. I don't care about the mugshots. What I'm more interested in, Phil, and not even so much for myself, but for everybody else that got jammed up and didn't have the resources, you know, to unjam themselves. And
right.
So what I'm going, this is going to be a little victory for all the silent voices out there. I'm going to jam these guys up big time, and they don't, you know, they got a shitstorm right over the horizon, and they don't have a clue how it's going to come down. And
I think he got a clue when he came back to talk to you.
I mean, these guys, you know, I mean, I thought we were going to be swapping spit in it pretty soon. I mean, this whole, you know. So I realized back then that at that point that I didn't really know what this nonsense was, you know, what they found. I mean, I had no clue about any of that. My first guess is, you know, these guys are planting this shit on me just to justify the bust, you know. Maybe they got a quota for the day. Who the hell knows what's, you know. So I'm just on the assumption that that they've got, you know, that they planted something, and I'm playing it by ear. And since I know it wasn't crack cocaine, and they found out it wasn't crack cocaine, they've got a fucking problem on their hands, you know. And
well, they can use it to show a pattern of behavior, like Art says.
Well, in what respect? Their pattern of behavior?
Theirs and yours, as well as Shirley saying you can lose your driver's license too.
Well, I'm not worried about any of that. You know, when I was in the Army, I had a battalion commander, and he used to say when something was fucked up, all he wanted to know was, how do you unfuck it? And that's what I'm going to do. That's the process that I'm going to be involved in. Is these guys will, if they want to get out from under this, I don't give a shit how they do it, how it gets done, who does it, what it costs them. They're going to unfuck everything that they did. Or, you know, if I've more or less kept everything kind of quiet, just because it's, you know, tactically it's, you know, if they
you don't want to put all your cards on the table yet.
No, and if they want to ramp this up, we'll ramp it up a stage at a time. And here's the other thing: the lawyer that I contacted, he's representing a woman who's lives a couple of blocks down from me. She's 76 years old, and she got pretty much the shit beat out of her in court by one of the police officers who was on, you know, on court duty that day. He put her in some kind of arm hold, wrestling hold. He's a big 6-foot-plus guy. He looks like a linebacker. And she's got permanent nerve damage now. And so he's got, in addition, So what we're going to do is the strategy is to piggyback one case with the other.
And showing their pattern of behavior.
Yeah, you know, so, and these guys have already paid out a hunk of change. It's not like, you know, it's not like that these guys are babes in the woods, you know, so, and there's, I haven't, there doesn't seem to be a big problem with this police department, you know, and I don't know about the rest of it, and I really don't care. All I know is the situation I was in, you know, and it may be representative of them, and it may be representative of all the police departments out there. I don't know. I don't know anything other than the situation I'm in, and so it'll be a good it's a good case for precedent, because once you go into court and you establish certain things, it's easier for the next person who gets themselves in the same or similar jam that you were in, you know, to build a case on. So it's the only advice I can give everybody out there is, don't take any shit from anybody. If it gives you a bad look, a glance, if you think that you were disrespected or you were, you know, they weren't professional in some way, go after them and make them accountable, because they're not the police department. They're all across. None of these guys are accountable. It's slow but sure. After decades of just running around like a bunch of gangsters, you know, they're starting to get into court now, and they're paying out huge sums of money, and that's just going to stop, because they can't keep paying out this money. It's the bottom line is they can't afford this shit anymore. It's just too much. You know, there's small little towns like I live in can't afford $1 million or they can't afford to have these cases come up where they're paying huge chunks of money, and it's in the press, and the press gets on to it, and they, you know, and pretty soon you got a big fight going on, and it's no good for them. But apparently they haven't learned anything from the last jam they got in. So, you know, what the hell can I say? So that's pretty much it.
Here's five words I want you to remember.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't. That's what got me in the jam that I'm in. It's a film I don't give a fuck. And, hey, look, you know, I'll take the heat for, you know, if I fuck up and they catch me and I get jammed up, that's on me. I can buy that. But you're going to come after me and jam me up. Man, you got a long, hard road, because I've been around way too long for that, you know. You know, that's
yeah.
I'm going to give you a story. And I'm not going to – it was a solo angel, and he was at an event. I don't know if it was up at Long Beach or somewhere up there. Bill was there. And the cops came up and said, you can't wear a patch. Made the guy take off his vest. On his shirt, he had solo angel. Said, no, you can't wear that. So – it gets down to where he actually ends up taking off all of his, you know, upper torso clothing, and he's got a tattoo, and he says, now what do you want me to do? And the officer's like, well, okay, never mind. Because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, but after that, when he said, what do you want me to do, I, if I remember right, they took pictures of his tattoos.
Well, they did, but they take pictures of tattoos of everybody.
Exactly.
Because they use that as a gang marker, and what classifies a person in California as a gang member is one of five criteria. One, association. Two, clothing. There's five things. I apologize. I just can't remember the other three. But it's affiliation, it's clothing, tattoo, location, and there's something else. And that constitutes a person as a gang member. And they do take pictures of all tattoos, because then they use that as identifying marks.
Right.
Well, we don't have anything that severe out here in Jersey. As far as the whole climate out here is just a little different. It's a little more subdued. And, you know, you don't hear a lot of stories, a lot of drama. you know, about the clubs and about confrontations with the police. I don't hear too much of it, and I, you know, I keep on top of a lot. There doesn't seem that we don't have that same atmosphere down here. For whatever reason, that's not
mentality.
That doesn't seem to, yeah, it doesn't seem to be an issue out here. I see guys with colors all the time, and they're, you know, they're tooling down the road, and they're stopping here and they're stopping there, and
it just
apparently
depends.
There's a, it's a truce.
It just depends.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I suppose it's all like it's time, place, and circumstance. Everything sort of, you know, focuses down to that time, place, and circumstance. But from what I've been able to observe, there, I mean, it's nowhere near like you guys out in California and Arizona and, you know, some of the other states that really have a, you know, really a, it's a real confrontation. And there doesn't seem to be that much of it out here. And apparently there may be an understanding between a lot of the clubs and the local police departments and law enforcement, you know. And I think that, I think there's...
Yeah, back east, they're all on a take.
Well, no, because in Illinois here, they don't, they do what Fran said. When somebody is arrested, they do put all tats in, you know, in the profile. So because of the marks, they can identify the person by their tats, okay? Doesn't matter if you're a patch holder or not. Your tats are automatically in the system, okay? But you can wear your colors.
Yeah, because I think right now in all the United States, as Shirley pointed out to me here in the chat room, that in California we have more bikers and clubs here than anywhere else, I think, in the United States.
Right.
You know, and Shirley touched on it earlier when she said, because I'll tell you right now, judges have ruled that bikers are not gangs.
Right.
Biker clubs are not gangs. There's a precedent on it. But like she says here, too, there's a bigger chance of harassment here because they, it's like I said earlier, they've been told that we're trying to hurt them or kill them or maim them or whatever. So they've already got it planted in their head that you're the fucking enemy before they even pull you over.
Yeah, no, well, like it's crazy on how they do that.
I'm going to tell you guys a little story about last summer. The Boys and Girls Club in California here decided to give two people that I know very well, they made them the grand marshals of their parade. And 20 minutes before we were getting ready to leave, they came over and told one individual to take everything off. And he said no. In the next 10 minutes, we all left, and everybody wanted to know where we went because we were supposed to lead the parade. And they were told what happened, and they were pissed.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
If I can jump in, when you're saying back east, one of the cities that they started doing the blockade of motorcyclists, which was actually my hometown. It's a dirty town. It's called Poughkeepsie, New York, Dutchess County. And it is one of the most corrupt cities you'll ever find. It is also a city where they have been harassing motorcyclists every chance they get. John and I were big supporters of sending money to the Abate organization out there to help them in the courts to fight against what they were doing, which is actually illegal.
Right.
But Poughkeepsie, New York is a very, very dirty town. I don't think there's one honest politician there to save your life.
Right. Well, hold on one second. We got somebody else who wants to chime in. Go ahead, Stacy.
Hi, everybody. What's happening?
Hi, Stacy. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day to everybody, I guess. The guy from New Jersey, is he still connected with us?
guys.
Yeah, how are
you doing? You know something? My hat's off to you. My hat is off to you for standing your ground, because a couple of shows back on Phil's little radio gathering here, I had mentioned a certain incident that had happened to me, and it involved the local cops in my neck of the woods. And I stood my damn ground up against them, and it went back and forth in court 4 times. But in the end, I was found right. They were found in the wrong. Stuff was dismissed. You can't let, just because it's the law or the local law authorities or whoever else that they feel they are above you, people nowadays cannot let these people push them around. They just look at us like we're all ignorant, I don't know, lambs, llamas, whatever, that we don't
sheep,
know our rights.
Sheep
and they
to
just,
the slaughter.
Yeah, that's it, sheep, sorry. And
sheep to the
they
slaughter.
Just, yeah, they just want to pile drive right over us and, you know, squash us and eliminate us, and it's just BS. So my hat's off to you.
Well, here's something to think about. That you've got corruption. One of the things that that most people don't focus in on with the police departments is the police unions. Now, these township officials and mayors and council people, they're intimidated by the police unions because these guys, they lobby for laws, they back candidates, all across the country, if they want to funnel in money for a local township or a local police department or even a lawsuit, they can mobilize a lot of money and a lot of support, and that's how they intimidate local authorities. Now, the only saving grace out of all this is most judges, and I believe this is most judges are good judges and people that that are there to get down to the bottom of the, you know, find out the truth and not to be bullshitted by either side. And if you get a good judge and not a politician, you'll walk out of that court. You got to be right. You can't be bullshitting your lawyer and the judge and everybody else. Because if you're wrong, you're going to get caught up in a lie. Every time you tell a lie is a different story. You got to have the same story, and the only story is the truth. The only story that doesn't change is the truth. And all down the line, through all the bullshit back and forth and the intimidation, the truth will ultimately prevail. But you've got to have some backbone, and you got to stick it out, because if you don't, they're just going to make your life, and you'll just be a punk. You know, they'll punk you out, which is, if you want to be a punk for the rest of your life, you can submit to intimidation, and you got to stand up. And if it's going to cost you financially and every other way, but in the end you'll prevail, and it's not going to be easy, and you know, and they're going to come at you, but in the end.
They definitely will come at you. You know, I mean, I'm female, and it took, you know, they came up onto my porch, two of them, because they asked me a question, and I answered their question with the question, not once, but twice.
Yeah.
That was grounds to spin me around, handcuff me, and, you know, drag me off my mother's porch, across the damn lawn, and into the cruiser, you know, because I just, I don't know, call me a smart ass, call me whatever. But the cop who showed up, he knew why he was coming here. So there was no reason for him to question me as to why he was here. You know, and it was just, it went tit for tat until he got fed up with me, and that was it. But like I said, needless to say, 4 times in court, each and every time, it was all dismissed. In the end, it was just ridiculous.
And you're going to prevail, and you're going to set a precedent. And, you know, if for no other reason, then you won't be getting a rash of shit from anybody down the line in the future. Now, I'm going to be talking. This is going to be something I'm going to be dealing with this time next year. But that's what I'm prepared to do. You know, regardless
right.
of the cost, personal, financial, whatever, I'm going to see this out to the bitter end, irregardless.
Well, best of luck to you, and I hope you make out.
Well, ultimately I will, because I have it's a win-win for me. I have nothing to lose. Everything is on my side. I've just got to keep the pressure up. And ultimately, they're going to screw up, and that's when I'm going to get them. And, you know, I've already got them already. It's just a question of just how much pressure are they willing to, you know, to put the township and the police department. And, you know, if they're willing to go the distance with me, I'll dance with them. It's, you know, I've got other allies, other people that are backing me up. So, you know, we'll dance if that's what they want. And,
just make sure you don't give them any ammo.
Can I also say something in regards to, his friend still with us?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm from the southeastern portion of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. I sit like right on the ocean. There's ocean like every 15 minutes that you drive down the road. And where I predominantly sit when it comes to motorcycle clubs and colors getting into a majority, not all, but a majority of the bars, et cetera, they pretty much can come and go as they please. There are some places that do frown on it, and it's usually more in the heavier cities, like sometimes Providence, different places in Providence, Rhode Island will give you a hard time, but it depends. It depends on what section of town you're in. And the same thing in the Boston area. If you go up into Boston, into the city part, it depends really on what area you're in. But somebody had made the comment about it's a little bit more laid back when it comes to like different events and clubs getting together, et cetera. And I have to say, you know, when it comes to in regards to wearing items of clothing, it is a little bit more laid back. I don't know if it's because we're a smaller area. All the states in the New England area are smaller and they're more easily, I guess, able to control where California is a huge state. And there are, you know, so many clubs, and I think the club sizes are a little bit bigger than what we got going on down here. But I think it's two totally different worlds, almost. Not quite on all things, but on some things, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I have to chime in on that. It is a different world. This is kind of New Jersey, and particularly the area that I'm in, is...
Well, isn't that what people say? New Jersey is its own world anyway?
Don't ever go next to the Allenstown area, or is that in Pennsylvania?
Well, we lost him. He's gonna
Alan.
We lost him. He's going to have to call in.
Oh.
Yeah, well, see, here in Illinois, it's the same thing. I mean, it is laid back. You know, there
well,
is independent bikers get harassed more than the clubs do.
Well, it's like this, too. You know, like Shirley says, there's a lot of parties with no trouble.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, I've gone to a couple events, you know, that we're talking a lot of people in a relatively, I don't know, medium-sized area, and everything goes smooth. It's great. It's a great time from start to finish. People come, people go, no problems, you know. And then I've been to a few small parties that weren't so good.
And then like you know, I've been in places, and I've been in parties, and I've seen the helicopters, and I've seen the drones. That's actually what Nora and I were going to talk about tonight, was the drones. But
they're very high profile.
Now see, you guys out there in California, you've got, you know, the coppers in the sky and stuff. Where I'm at, anyways. They don't.
I got
have...
news for you. Every police force in the United States is going to have a drone within the next 2 years.
Oh well,
oh, yeah.
That stuff I totally understand. But I mean, I know like in the rougher areas, or so to say, in California, you guys have constantly got them cops and the choppers. We don't have that where I'm at. I mean, unless there's something major, like a big accident or an explosion or something, you don't
outside
see...
Outside of Pete's house.
I'm where? I'm not next to Pete's house. I'm about an hour and a half away from there.
No, I said they're all outside of They're all outside of Pete's house waiting for him to come out.
Oh, Pete's house. he'll set his dogs loose.
But no, Nora had a good story that someone told her about. Maybe you want to tell that story, Nora.
With the drones. Is that what we're talking about, the drones?
Yeah. What did that person tell you?
You know, the person I spoke with is so used to seeing helicopters, drones, you know, some form of surveillance around. He's used to it. Others, you know, the privacy is not like what it used to be back in the day. Unfortunately,
we have no privacy. Nowhere.
No,
there's a camera
haven't.
Always somewhere looking at
we
what
haven't.
You're doing, no matter what.
And it's not just because of all the incidences that took place of September 11th. That was the excuse. It was already in the works, but way prior to that, you didn't have what there is now. So with drones,
September 11th
has
been used as a scapegoat for a lot of different things.
For everything. The Patriot Act, everything. Your privacy is just not what you think it is. You can have your cable box off if you have digital, and they can chime in through your cable box and listen to everything that you're talking about. Not that you're doing anything wrong, but, you know, no matter what, somebody could be out your door. Somebody could be in, or they could send a drone. Now, here, since they're going to have the NATO meeting, the summit meeting here in May, they just spent $165 billion, the mayor of Chicago here, to get special Riot Gear helmets out of Colorado for what's going to take place here for 3 days in May. And guess the pocket that's coming out of? It's not coming out of the government.
The taxpayers.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, our taxes are high.
Taxpayers have to pay for everything, you know, that stupidity charges.
Exactly. And, you know, the sad thing is, you know, with these drones, now, if you've ever seen one, they kind of like look like the shape of a missile, kind of. But their back fins are shaped different. But like I said, it can be as far as, it can be a block away from you. And they're zooming in. Nobody's operating them, not in the physical sense with the drones. But, you know, like I said, it's special things. You know, here's the drones because they can get in better than what the cameras can or what the helicopters can. So, you know, not that anybody's doing anything wrong, but here comes the surveillance.
Yeah.
Yep. And nobody,
because
nobody
they have to tag people, you know.
And nobody would even hear them coming. If they can make a Black Ops helicopter hover over a building and nobody hears the helicopter, they sure as hell are going to make them drones to be extremely quiet so that they go by with nobody even noticing them.
Well, exactly, because you can look at any kind of event form type pictures, okay, that would be publicized. And there's always going to be somebody out there that's going to take pictures of the helicopters around. Unfortunately, they're not going to be taking pictures of the drones, but they are there. They're there.
They're as far as 25,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So you don't know
they're
there.
Like what? Like a foot long by like 6 inches wide or something like that? They're not that big at all?
They even have some the size of a dragonfly.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So guess what? You know, you know, they have that unfortunate saying, it's guilt by association. What is that? Really? Because I just see friends. You don't see what, you know, is always tagged. Now, they always want to tag motorcycle enthusiasts, okay? What about the street gangs? They're not doing it to street gangs, I'm sure. And they're worse out there, you know. They could be walking, coming up in their car and all of a sudden, bam, bam, okay, well, there you go. And, you know, oh, well, it's just a gang retaliation. Really? Yeah. Privacy is gone. It's never coming back. And it's just getting tighter. It's a tight noose that's coming around everybody. And people need to wake up about it, and they don't.
I think the whole guilty by association thing is kind of like when the South, I don't want to specifically point at the South, but going to the areas that still had predominant slave issues back X amount of years ago. If you were caught being friendly with any, you know, African-American, or whomever, you were automatically categorized as such. And then you had, what was it, the Eisenhower years, where they thought everybody was a communist. Was it President Eisenhower? Am I hitting the right president? You know, and I think it's just something they can tag you with, to hold you over, to question you on something else. It's kind of like, you know, the old intimidating a witness or disorderly conduct to get you into their seat for them to interrogate and do what they like to do best.
The thing is with the drones, I mean, Chicago is known primarily as a mob mm-hmm. city, period. Always has been, always will be. In fact, they just arrested, you know, a member that was like in his 70s. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, we read about another one, you know. But like I said, with the drones and the regards of the different sizes that they're in, they can be right outside your house. You wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
At least with a helicopter, you can see it. A vehicle, you can see. The drones.
Yeah, unless it's a white van.
Right.
Just
and,
a white van.
You know, and
the
they've
Scooby-Doo
got new stealths. You know, but I mean, they're coming out with new stealths too. But I'm not sure if that's in regards with the drones, or if that's, you know, primarily for something other. But again, you know, with the different sizes of the drones, you know, what's it going to be like? You can go outside on your front porch, have a cigarette. You know, it could be nighttime, and you have no idea that it's even there.
Well, look at I think they're Marines that wear them bat wing suits, whatever you want to call it. They can jump off of skyscrapers and, like, sail down through the city. They look like a little flying squirrel. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you've got human beings doing that stuff for surveillance. So anything's possible. You know, it's just
But like I said,
ridiculous.
They're going to see it all different viewed here, that they're not even going to know what's coming. In regards to the NATO summit meeting that's going to be taking place here, which is going to shock everybody, you know, and in regards
And
with
when is that happening?
May 19th to the 21st. So they're shutting Chicago down. They're shutting it down. That made front page, and people, I mean, the mayor had to hurry up, get on, and contradict what was plastered on all the front pages of the newspapers here because he didn't want to cause a panic. So, no, this isn't going to take place. It's going to be a nice, peaceful demonstration. They still have no idea yet how many people are coming. But if you look back in the 90s when the summit meeting took place in, you know, Seattle and stuff like that, they've come out deadly in so many different manners. So who knows what's going to happen here. But I'm sure the drones will be here, as well as, you know, the police force and military that they are going to have.
Oh, that's for sure.
The only problem I have with all of this is that...
Well, wait. Shirley says, why the hell would the government do anything in Chicago?
Well, because Obama's going to be here. That's where Obama is from.
And the mayor is his homeboy.
The mayor is his homeboy because after when he was elected in the office, Rahmuel Emanuel was right behind him, okay, right under him. And then all of a sudden, oh, he stepped down. Mayor Daley comes out because mayor, the name Daley has been in the state of Illinois for decades. I mean, we were talking decades. While his father was the mayor, his son was the district attorney at the time. So he went from a district attorney status and came into mayoral status after when his father, or either right before his father passed or right after. And he took the reign. Now, which is very odd for any mayor to be in for 10 decades. Let's see. It's been decades upon decades. The Daley family is very well known here. And all of a sudden, he just steps down, quietly steps down.
Well, I remember when his dad had a heart attack.
The bread.
I remember when his dad had his heart attack in 76 in the city council meeting.
Well, yeah. Now, see, his father is buried just down the street from my house, which, since it's Valentine's Day, which is what is known here for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
St. Valentine's
Al Capone,
Day Massacre.
Yeah. Al Capone is buried in the same cemetery. Al Capone is just down the street from me. But
say Queen of Heaven,
know,
right?
Yeah.
Her parents are.
Well, yeah. But you mean Daley's parents?
No, my parents are buried at Queen of Heaven.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Daley's. I'm like, no, they're right down the street from me. But like I said, he quietly stepped down, stated it was because of his wife Maggie's illness. That wasn't the case. Rahmuel Emanuel was stepping in for a reason, and the reason being, buddy, buddy, here we go, stepped into play in regards for the summit meetings to be held here.
Yeah.
It's the president's home state. So who does that look good for? Because he's not winning a battle here in regards for being reelected. Not
well,
as the numbers are going with, you know, the presidential elections, or the ones that are going to be elected.
He's
going to
get reelected. He's going to get reelected because the Republicans don't have anybody.
The comfort mode there, Phil. We talked about that, the comfort mode. People sit back and they're going to be comfortable with what's happening and they're not going to seek change. But I'll tell you what, any one of the Republicans running for office right now, I think they're more scarier than the man himself.
Right.
Well,
like I said, it's an unfortunate thing because, you know, there are certain people you can speak with and they know how the surveillance works. Unfortunately, not everybody does. And as we know, others just refuse to see what it is. And as Bill and Phil would always say, wake up. It's been beyond here. Nobody knows.
You know,
well, go ahead.
If you grab your cell phone and you stood on a sidewalk and you filmed everything that the cops were doing, say you were down on a main street somewhere and there's always something going on.
Right.
Is that okay? Can you, you know, film the local authorities, the local government,
follow
them around? That's the same deal. Well, you know, if you're going to do it to us, then, you know, we should be able to do it to you.
Which is understandable, but by law you cannot. And the reason being, because I just spoke with in regards to this with Phil. Now, my daughter wasn't feeling well. I'm on occasion, and all of a sudden, people swarm this vehicle right across the street from my house. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So we went from the town police to unmarked. Then we went to the state, and then canines. you know, and I've never seen this happen. I mean, they were tearing up this vehicle with the dogs and everything. So I'm like, oh, my God, you got to come check this out. Well, my daughter wasn't feeling well. I'm out there with my phone, you know. Damn, look at that, snap. You know, not that I was sending it, but I was doing it to show her. And, you know, my friend's son had told me, he's like, you know, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean I can't do what? And he's like, take pictures while they have somebody pulled over. I said, I didn't know that. You know, so I wasn't being dumb or naive. I just didn't know. But it's like, no. I'm not doing anything with it. I'm what? Just, you know, going to show my daughter what is taking place.
I think if they publicly can put cameras everywhere and let us know that we're always on surveillance for our speed limits, do we stop at a stop sign? If we're standing in front of a court or a library, I think if, you know, the world is just full of cameras, then we should be allowed to stop filming and making sure things are happening in the order they're supposed to be.
Do you guys have in your state, Stacey, do you guys have the lights at the red light cameras?
Yeah, we got them everywhere, and every time we go underneath one, me and whoever's in my car, we flip them off.
Okay. Well, you
here's
that's surveillance. Your surveillance.
Hey, yes, it is, but here's the deal. You can film them. They're public officials. You can film them outside. The only time you can't film them is when they're undercover, going to the potty, or walking into their house. Other than that, it's fair game.
Yeah. Now, I had, you know, that's behind my house. I didn't even know. I thought it was somebody, you know, out scoping the neighborhood to rob. I had no clue they were feds on a stakeout. No clue.
Well,
not until when I blew their cover, you know, but I had to protect myself and my daughter.
Here's one that just came out today. This one just came out the other day since you guys talked about red light cameras. The California Court of Appeals throws out the red light camera ticket because it overturned it because the red light camera ticket evidence as hearsay. Okay?
Right.
Because my attorney friend, taught this woman what to do in Fresno court system as a public defender. Well, she's a very smart lady, and what she did was she challenged it. So when they gave her, when they saw the picture, they gave her this guilty. So they imposed a $430 fine plus a 12-hour traffic school. She immediately appealed and citing the U.S. Supreme Court case Melendez-Diaz versus Massachusetts, which the traffic camera industry has feared since it was decided in 2009. The case clarified that the Constitution's Confrontation Clause gave defendants the right to question the actual technicians responsible for analyzing forensic evidence. Here, Officer Butkus played no role in the operation or maintenance of the red light camera system, but he came in because of the town with the DA, and they used him as an expert witness. And it was wrong because they said it was inadmissible hearsay. He had nothing to do with the picture. He had nothing to do with setting up the camera. He had nothing to do with setting up the yellow light, the caution light, and how long before it turns red. He had none of that to do. So she won this appeal and had it overturned. Anybody wants this, I'll send it to you.
Send it to me.
Yeah, if you want to flip it in an email to me. But, yeah, like and going back to that, it's just amazing. You know, the technology is becoming more advanced than what people have thought. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, when they had the Senate meeting here, they do not want anyone with camera phones to have them on their person while they are demonstrating. You are not to take pictures. In case if there's some kind of confrontation.
Oh, that's just baloney.
So here, how can somebody defend themselves? I mean, if you're just sitting there quiet, while there's other people, there could be a couple in the crowd that are going to get kind of irate or belligerent. Okay, it happens. So the quiet ones, if something happens to them, how can they prove, well, I didn't do anything. I was
right.
Just over here.
Right.
Well,
but
guess
like
what?
Shirley wrote something in here where she said, you cannot film people in public without their people's permission. That's the average citizens. But because
right, which
public,
we know that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, how they're getting around that, and they're doing that a lot right out here in Massachusetts. There's this call out in particular, which really drives me insane every time I go by it, because technically you cannot audio record anybody without their consent, and usually it has to be in paperwork consent.
Right.
But this guy who owns a car lot's got two signs up outside of it. It's just a small little lot that says, you are being audio recorded and you are being videotaped. Most of the Dunkin' Donuts's, couple of chain pizza parlors and a couple of different other restaurants all have signs within their establishment saying, you are being videotaped. You know, and basically,
yeah,
if they're warning the general public in this area, you know, you're being videotaped, it is what it is. They don't need anybody's permission, but they need everyone's permission to audio tape, to film your voice, to tape a conversation,
right,
you know.
Well,
but
they have that here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
As for the filming part, it's pretty much abolished. Everybody is filming everybody with crime rate and everything else getting out of control.
Right. I mean,
well,
they can turn on, just
like I told you guys, I've been telling everybody for a long time now, just like when you turn your phone off, you think it's off, it's not on. They can turn your phone on. They can listen to your conversations. They can check out what you do on your phone. If you want to be found or you don't want to be tracked, when you leave, take the battery out.
I want to just leave this with everybody. As far as recording, they've been doing it for years. As far as finding out people's backgrounds, your affiliations with different individuals, they've been doing that for years. It is nothing new. What the problem is they're very poor at what they do. And the perfect example of that is they will give in. The CIA and the FBI were given the information on the individuals that flew into the World Trade Center. They were given that information, and they disposed with it. So the real question is, did they dispose with it because Bush had his friends, that their plane was the only one that wasn't grounded from Saudi Arabia? They flew, everything else was grounded. So the real question is, are they turning their back on things because it's convenient? And did they really care about the people and the actual Twin Towers? I'm not sure. Unfortunately, I do have company here now, so I do have to go. Have a good evening,
folks.
Okay.
You too, Fran.
We
went to dead air. What's going on?
I was looking something up, and I missed saying goodnight to Fran, but goodnight, Fran. But it's just like Shirley said, the agents don't work well together. Everybody wants to think they have the bigger penis.
Amen. Amen.
They don't exist. No, I'm sorry.
You know, I every couple of years, I have to go down and renew all my security clearances and everything, and I had to go in November of last year. It takes 8 weeks, and then I have to go sit in a meeting with the NCIS. And,
oh my God!
And they laid a bunch of pictures when the event I was in October. They laid a bunch of pictures on the table and asked me what I knew about these people. And I said I was at a birthday party, and that was the end of it. And guy kind of got mad when I said, hey, you know, those are better pictures than the ones I have. Can I get a copy of those?
Oh, my God. Did he give you a copy?
No, he gave me a hard time.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, it doesn't matter the position of the job title that Phil has, or you could just be a regular Joe Schmo, okay? Or look at John, you know, he's just walking down the sidewalk. So, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you know people, if you don't know people, it happens every day.
Well, it's like I told you guys a couple weeks ago that the FBI gave $945,627 to a company in Virginia to just sit and listen to radio shows like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not doing anything wrong, you know, because all it is information in regards to not everybody knows their rights. Okay. So in order to understand what your rights are or what you can and cannot do, okay, that justifies their action to say, well, hey, we can listen in because this is controversial. It's not. It's just an information.
No, the higher-ups would rather all of us walk around ignorant, dumb, confused, and blinded.
The majority of the world does because they don't know.
Well, you know, it's like that thing I had said a couple of shows ago. Is it the generation we're raising, you know, or what exactly is going on? But I swear, it would, like I said, when I just go into college the way I do, the younger society is just a little bit more green behind the ears, and I just don't understand it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for meeting Phil in a lot of ways, and it's not being dumb or anything like that, because you're looking at the fact of, if somebody's never been in trouble, they don't know the law, okay, which you will walk around if you were to get stopped or something. Okay, here you go. You're on your way. Have a nice day, kind of mentality. So you don't see or have the knowledge of the understanding of what is actually out there and what you need to know. And so at times I've learned as I went, you know, there was a time when my brother was in question and something that he did, okay, not fully, but what he was being accused of. And they were trying to come on private property here to tow his vehicle so they could search it. I said, it's on this side of the sidewalk, you can't touch it, and you have no probable cause to move it. They had no choice. They had to leave. I wasn't going to give them permission to do it.
Well, let me see what this guy's got to say.
Okay.
Hello, Pete.
Yeah.
Yo, Pete in Massachusetts.
Yo, Fall River, what up?
What up, man?
Want to get some coffee? Let's get some coffee.
Coffee, yeah. I'm going for my Dunkin', man. Get me a coffee.
I'll get coffee.
Yeah, don't go to Starbucks. They're starting to put in alcohol and stuff. What the heck is
that
about?
On the chat, I'm looking at ERS of America. Not Bikers of America, ERS, E-R-S of America. ERS of America. That's what it says on my screen. So I can't cut off. Hi, Shirley. Always nice to hear from you. ERS of America, it says. Oh, now it says Bikers of America. What the hell? Anyway, just checking in.
Okay. Still nothing going on?
Geez, I'll have to call on Thursday. Yeah, there's a few things going on.
Hang on 1 second. Hello, 989.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, is this Philip?
Hello. Okay,
nine,
don't everybody
eight,
all
nine.
Talk at once, man, you know?
Nine, go ahead.
989?
Yeah.
I love you, Philip. You know who this is, don't you?
What's up, Bear?
Bear.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I moved back to Michigan. Love you, bud.
All right, man. I'm gonna go back to the. I'm gonna mute you for a second. Hello. So what I'm gonna do is, Pete, you're gonna call in. You're gonna call in Thursday. Can't talk about
it
now.
I'm gonna call.
Okay.
I'm just listening. I'll call in. I'll call in earlier Thursday.
Okay.
Running behind today with everything. I'll talk to you Thursday. Thanks for throwing me on real quick. I appreciate it.
Oh, no worries, man.
Later.
So, yeah, it's like there's what was I gonna tell you? There's I told you about the red light. I told you about the red light camera. The evidence can be used as hearsay.
Then how can they charge anybody with things that come off of cameras if it's, you know?
Because, well, the precedent for that was set in your state. If you look up...
Gee, thanks.
Supreme Court case out of it was Melendez versus Diaz, or Melendez-Diaz versus the state of Massachusetts.
Now, over here, we don't pronounce it Diaz. We pronounce it Dias.
Okay, well, out here, well,
how's it
I'm 38
D-I-A-S?
Miles north of the, I'm pronouncing it Diaz.
Yeah. but see, the thing is with D-I-A-S, if that's the way it's spelled, okay, we have a predominantly Portuguese heritage that's here. And
mm-hmm.
the Portuguese people pronounce it Dias. They don't pronounce it Diaz. So it depends on what the nationality was. I'm nitpicking at you, Phil.
No, that's all right. But here's the deal, okay?
Yeah.
The three-judge Court of Appeal panel did not agree. Instead, it sided with the Orange County Superior Court's decision, where the state is allowed to use the red light camera for evidence, but it does so only if certain standards are met. So how do you know if those standards are being met? They don't tell
you
shit. Among these is the prosecution must establish the yellow light duration at the intersection meets the minimum state standards. Here, this officer Butkus concluded that the light had been yellow for 3.15 seconds, and that was sufficient. Even assuming that the 3.15 second interval meets the mandatory minimum yellow light interval as mandated by the legislator, according to his testimony, he relied upon the text typed across the top of two photos stating amber 3.5. The Justice Woods wrote in the final, accordingly, where the evidence was being presented to show the duration of the yellow traffic signal met the minimum interval mandated by the legislator, measured to the hundredth of a second, the record does not support the conclusion. Officer Butkus was otherwise qualified to state the representation was accurate. They did not find the credible argument that the red light camera photographs and maintenance logs were merely routine government business records that did not require authorization, which they said they did. The records were, and the court noted that the records were created by Rediflex, not the government. So without the proper testimony, the maintenance logs and therefore the photographs with text typed across the top were not properly admitted. Without these documents, there's a total lack of evidence to support the vehicle code in question. So they reversed their conviction, and they decided the decision should hold presidential value and ordered it to be published. Came out on 1/26/2012.
So you want to decipher that?
Well, basically, they. They're not taking the word of the company because they're not working for the government. They're just sending
right.
in the picture to get your money. The officer just relied upon what was written on the top of the picture, which if they got to show all the minimum requirements that everything was met, that the yellow light was long enough. As like Shirley said, I was taught you go through a yellow light if you're traveling too fast to stop safely, which is true.
Right. Exactly.
Or under certain weather conditions.
Right. You can enter a yellow, but not a red.
Right. Which are, you know, pointed out that right in the chat there.
Yeah, because like courts are fighting about it every day.
Right.
So.
Oh, I know. And now with the camera lights, you know, if you go up on that line, you get the ticket. But if you stay behind it, you're fine.
Well, I was talking to some guys the other day from San Diego, and they stopped at the red light, and the cop was sitting on the other side facing them. So when the light turned green, he came forward and threw a U-turn and pulled them all over because he said when they stopped for the red light, their front tires were 2 inches into the limit line.
Yeah. They have that right to do that because that is what they say their right is with camera lights.
Talk about that's, a desperate need to write a ticket.
Right, but no, he did that for probable cause because they were somewhere they haven't been in a while and they were curious to see where they were going.
Ah, well, but of course.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
More surveillance.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's like
ridiculous.
It's like the mayor of our town used to be the chief of D's, and when he got elected, Bill and I made an appointment to go see him, and he made a comment to Bill. He said, "Don't you recognize me?" Bill said, "No." He said, "Well, I used to be the chief of D's. You know, when we were investigating you for about 18 years, you know, then they were parked in a storage place across the street from his shop, facing his shop." And we could see him up there filming every day. But this
right.
guy said, yeah, we could never find anything on you or any of your friends. So we gave up. And Bill said, well, if I knew you were going to spend that kind of money, you could have just gave it to me and I'd have moved out of town.
Oh. But I like the way he said you or your friends. Well,
yeah.
You know? So if they found something on his friends, then it would immediately, you know, turn full circle onto him. Is that the point he was trying to get across?
Yes.
That's just...
Yes.
Such
BS.
We have
friends all over.
Yeah. With friends like these, boy, I would rather keep the enemies in my pocket, honestly.
Yeah, because it's like when you go to Bill's shop, you know, some guys come from different clubs. It's basically sanctuary.
Right.
And when the cops try and come in before him, Bill stops him at the door and says, "If you're here to look at motorcycles, you're more than welcome to come in. But if you're here to hassle anybody, you can't come in. Not without a warrant."
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Don't blame him one bit.
Yeah.
Well, pretty soon. Well, I mean, where is it safe to go?
Right. Well, basically, he's nowhere safe anymore.
Nope.
No.
You know? I mean, what was that text I sent you earlier?
Oh, that was insane. That was insane.
Tell everybody what it was.
Yeah, Phil sent me a text because I was multitasking, trying to hurry up and eat, get signed on to the show and everything, yeah, to be here on time. And he's like, "Did you get my text?" And I'm like, "No, like I'm multitasking. Just a minute." And so I opened up my phone, and he sent me a picture of who's sitting outside of his home.
Oh, man, I want on the text list. That would have been cool.
they sit out there while we're on the show.
That's just
yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
When you leave your house, do you stand out on the front porch, pick your wedge, pick your nose, wave, say hello, and then... just get on your bike or in your car, you know, when you get out of it, again, pick your ass, pick your nose, and wave, hello.
Well, what I do sometimes is I hand them a list of where I'm going, point A, point B, and point C.
That's freaking ridiculous. That's entrapment.
Well, last week was a very hard show for us now because you were here, so or you were with us with
yeah.
the show. So
yeah.
talking about what happened with my girlfriend's son, you
right.
know, I mean, he had to keep timing different because they were relentless to, you know what was going on. And it wasn't anything bad. It was just giving the information what took place. You know, and that's why he had to keep timing out. Remember, you were having issues in regards with,
everybody
know,
was. I was.
Yeah.
Fran was. Our computer just shut down, went back up. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my stuff froze, you know, and I was trying to, I couldn't go from one tab to the next. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And then after the show, once I closed out the tab for, you know, the show here and went back to the regular Facebook tab, you know, and here it's just spinning and spinning. I'm like, and then all of a sudden the screen would flicker on and off. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Yeah, so some days are going to be difficult. So if you hear the music, that's why he wasn't trying to be like rude in your ear. You know?
Hey, and they're playing Metallica music. Am I right? When they try to like cut in, because that's what I hear on my end.
Really? I haven't heard anything. The only thing that I will hear sometimes is like crackling. You know, otherwise I have a clear shot.
Or is that mm-hmm. Phil playing the Metallica music?
No.
Because every now and then, like Metallica, I could swear it's Metallica. It could be something else. I don't know. But it sounds like it. You'll get like 2-3 seconds of guitar, and then it stops.
Yeah, no, I've never heard that. You know, the only good thing is, well, last week was rough. But, I mean, what he normally plays is, you know, anything.
This is what I normally play. I'll give you a quick spin on that.
I just love that stuff. Sorry.
Oh yeah, Mike P.
Mike P's in the house.
Yeah, that's some good music there.
Well, he normally plays this other one, which is good. And
well,
he's got good
one.
Music anyway. Yeah.
This one is the one. This one I'm going to close out with tonight.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's a good tune. I love that tune.
Yeah, I talked to him last weekend. He can fit in his schedule. He's going to come on the show.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So at
that's
one point,
cool.
We're going to have him in the house.
Very cool.
Well, that's... But
not in the house, but over the airways.
Yeah, I know. on the airways, in the house.
Well, I'm just going to tell you guys right now. Shirley says most people, she says, I think by now most people understand I take no crap. She said, two screw-ups and you're out of my life. I want friends that I can trust that are loyal.
But everybody wants friends that they can trust and they're loyal, period.
Yep.
You know, because
absolutely.
Loyalty, respect, is not given. You earn
nope,
it.
Nope, it's earned. Absolutely.
So, yeah, we got the guy. He used to be in Tennessee, and he moved back to Michigan. But he's a good guy. We call him. He helped out with. He used to work for this thing called Feeding America. When I went
I know what that is.
When I went to Tennessee with Baker and we did that fundraiser.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Honestly, he just called you to say he was moving to Michigan. That was
he already moved. No, he already moved.
Did he? All right.
Yeah. And,
Art wants to make sure that everybody had a fantastic Valentine's Day, and remember, March 20th is on the way.
What's March 20th?
Art, what's March 20th? You got all these minds that want to know now.
Yeah, inquiry minds want to know, Art. Type it in, please.
I'm sitting puzzled going, oh, God, did I forget something?
Unless if it's his birthday, I don't know.
Happy birthday.
I'm not sure. He's not responding. Art.
Oh.
Okay. President's Day. Okay.
President's
Day. Art says it's Steak and Nabber Day.
Steak and Nabber Day. Well, okay. Who's he inviting for the steak?
Steak? He's cooking steak?
Okay, well,
you better,
I'm going to Art's
house. You better leave an address.
Art, I hope you have room for all of us. We're coming.
All right. Then you're gonna draw straws on what?
Yeah.
Draw straws for what? Did I miss something again?
I guess I did.
Are you
Nora.
By the chat? Are you by
no,
the chat?
No, no. What I'm doing, I am in the bed. I am underneath the Ed Hardy blanket with the phone in my ear, going, "Oh God, 5 a.m. comes quick."
Okay. Are we going to have to draw straws if we all come to your house for a steak dinner?
Oh,
you
said steak dinner. That means everybody. No drawing straws. We invade the place.
No, he said, March 20th is steak and Naber Day. So, of course,
well,
now
you guys
we got
jumped on this, and I jumped on the one that said, okay, you're going to draw straws for the other one?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking ribeye and Heinz 57 sauce, you know, baked potato, little salad. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, yay, steak dinner.
Well, last week's show, you know, in the chat went kind of everywhere. Wow. You know, Art said that we had to have been supervised, so we're trying to behave this time, and he's like, now he's started. It's
so
men's
we're down to the
last day. Yes.
Yeah, good night, America. Good night, everywhere else. Good night, Phil. Good night, Nora.
Good night,
everybody.
Stacey.
We're going to close out
good
with
night,
Mike.
Everybody.
We're going to close out with Mike T's 1%er.
Nice.
I know.